being able to know our clients inside and out and understand how they operate naturally really helps our advisors to be able to come alongside their clients and really tailor their advice to help them take action naturally to reach those goals. And it also gives them a lot of good communication insight into how these clients are going to receive the information from them.
Welcome to Powered by Instinct, a podcast for professionals who think about how your fundamental nature drives performance. In each episode, Colby experts will interview top performers, team leaders, consultants, and coaches to discuss identifying team members' strengths, aligning those strengths with their jobs, and optimizing individual and team performance. If you're interested in getting more done more naturally, then let's jump in.
Welcome back to another episode of Powered by Instinct. As a reminder, I'm Eric Herrera, and I'm a 5392. And today we're really going to talk about, all right, how do instincts and natural instincts play into the financial services world? And so we have an amazing guest with us that works in the financial space. She's a certified consultant, and she was also a finalist for one of our Colby Con Awards. So I want to welcome Libby to the show. And Libby, you are an 8623, right?
I am. I wear it proudly.
That's awesome. And so even if you don't know a whole lot about Colby, you can probably notice by hearing the four numbers, right? I'm a 5392 and when Libby's an 8623. We're not 100% opposite, but we're pretty darn close. And so the cool part about Colby is we know that about each other. So we'll be able to adapt and shift as we go through our time together today.
Absolutely.
So Libby, you know, before we learn a little bit, you know, more about Keating and some of the work you all do as a firm, I'd like to take a step back and talk more about, you know, using Colby in the financial services world. So, you know, we have lots of advisors who love Colby and use it in their practices. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
You know, financial advisors really are in the relationship and productivity space as well as the advice space. And so they're busy working with individuals and families. They're working in marriages. They're also working with business owners, helping them to really move forward, not just in a financial way, but reaching dreams and goals that they have for their personal lives and for their business lives. So I think when you have financial advisors who know that their work with their client on their financial goals is going to touch that personal side, they are really looking at how can I help this individual or this company or this spousal group be able to reach their aspirations in a meaningful way. And so being able to know our clients inside and out and understand how they operate naturally really helps our advisors to be able to come alongside their clients and really tailor their advice to help them reach their goals in a meaningful way, to help them take action naturally to reach those goals. And it also gives them a lot of good communication insight into how these clients are going to receive the information from them. For example, do they need to be making sure that their financial plan notes back to a really high fact finder client need to be extremely thorough and include justification for all of the reasons that they want to move forward with these recommendations? Or is somebody going to be a simplifier and they really do just want the bullet points? They fully trust their advisor's recommendations and they just need that quick recap in order to make those decisions. So it helps with the communication piece quite a bit.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned building trust and rapport with your clients. It absolutely helps with that. I know I've worked with a number of financial advisors where they use it very early in the process, right? As, you know, as I reach out to them and I would say, hey, I would like to work with you. You know, it's not a, you know, kind of one and done transaction kind of business. They're ideally with me for the next 40 or 50 years. And so they often say, hey, you don't know how I operate. I don't know how you operate. And that's how they integrate it into that conversation.
That's absolutely right. We often will do a Colby A with our clients as we're getting to know them. If they are married, we might do a Colby A to A for the spouses to understand each other's strengths, or an A to A with our advisor working with the client directly so that they understand where those opportunities are in their communication and how they're going to work together. But especially if our clients are business owners, we may start with their own personal insight, doing their own Colby A and having them have that transformative, insightful experience for understanding how they function. And before we know it, they're asking, how else can I bring this back? I need my leadership team to understand their own strengths. I can totally see how I'm different than somebody else that I work really closely with. And I'd like to understand that more. And sometimes they want to use it for hiring or they want to do a team workshop. And so there's a variety of ways that our advisors like to be able to take this back to their clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, you mentioned you working with business owners, also with, you know, family members, those kinds of things. What are some of the typical, you know, people problems that you think Colby can help with in that world?
Sure. I think that we oftentimes see that people are trying to get traction on their goals. And so they are able to come and identify what their financial goals are, their purchasing goals, their debt reduction goals. Sometimes it's goals on retirement planning and something that's really far off. And understanding how they are wired will help them understand their best path toward reaching those, not just the financial decisions that they need to make, but the ways that they go about that. So when somebody is a high fact finder, they're initiating in fact finding, then we are able to really tailor their saving strategies to be very data driven and very detailed and give them a lot of information to be able to reach that. When they are a counteracting implementer and they are big at envisioning things, they want to be able to talk abstractly about those ideas. They want to be able to maybe see a quick PowerPoint presentation that explains the concept in general, but allows them to continue to kind of think about it in their heads. And so as we see them have insight, it increases their ability to reach their goals, and it also enhances their relationships, especially within their family, to understand and respect how somebody might approach things differently than they do and take action in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a critical component. And, you know, you brought up kind of basing your communication style with your client, you know, based on somebody's Colby results. That's sometimes, I think, the magic that people forget about. Especially if you're sitting in a room with a couple, right? Well, just because they're married or in a committed relationship doesn't mean they're exactly the same. And so knowing how to adapt and adjust, so we give this one a little bit, this one a little bit, that definitely helps. So I'm going to kind of move on to the next session and not so much talk about clients, but talk about folks in the financial services industry. Do you see any trends in financial services in regards to cognitive strengths or Colby results, the four numbers, that kind of thing?
Sure. I think one of the most obvious ones that we've seen, at least within our own company, as we have several different ways that we have financial advisors focus their time and their unique abilities, we've noticed that our financial planners, the ones who are really driven to look at that data analysis around a plan and give clients that type of information and not just investment management, but the plan itself. They are very data driven and plan driven. And so we often see that there's initiating fact find and initiating follow through for those who want to spend their time in that planning space. They have an instinctual drive to be able to break that information down into really detailed components of data entry and be able to explain that thoroughly to a client. And so we find that they get a lot of joy out of work like that and having the time to do that. And then we look at our more sales-focused and relationship-focused advisors, who really would like to not be sitting behind a computer screen most of the day, but they want to be out and about. They might want to be on the golf course or networking at the chamber event and out there building new relationships. Those types of financial advisors who are bringing in those new relationships and establishing those new client bases, we would say sales side, but in our company, we never talk about it being sales. It's really relationship development. We are oftentimes seeing initiating quick starts, but also counteracting follow through. So we find that combination is pretty common for those more relationship-based advisors who just want to be able to pivot in their day. They want to respond and react to what's in the opportunities that are in front of them, and they don't want to have to wait and cut through complexities to get there. So those are two that I tend to see in our industry.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that we're using a little bit of Colby jargon there. So that for those of you that are kind of new to Colby, when Libby says initiate, what she means is 7 to 10 in any of those colorful bars. And when she says counteract, she's talking about 1 to 3 again in any of those colorful bars. So, you know, quick sidebar there just to catch everybody up to speed on the Colby stuff that we're talking about, because it is for sure our own language. You know, do you think in financial services, there are strengths that are maybe overlooked sometimes that could be valuable inside of a firm?
I think I've thought about this a lot, and I think that sometimes what we can pay attention to is not necessarily specific strengths that are missing, but making sure that we have enough specialist opportunities within the industry that allow people who have those initiating strengths to want to do something all the time with their mental energy, that they have opportunities to really drill in to being able to use that mental energy throughout their day on a regular basis. So when we think about generalist positions or positions that ask people to be able to operate cognitively in a wide variety of areas, that's where we find that people can burn out or not feel as effective as when we say, wow, you are really drawn to be able to naturally give a lot of detail or create processes and plans, but we're asking you to adapt regularly as part of your job and your role in this industry, then you're going to find they can't be as excited and as effective in their role. So that's just something we're looking at in our own company, is really making sure that we understand for this particular opportunity, what is that cognitive mix that's going to allow a person to feel fulfilled in this role and have that never-ending energy and excitement about coming to work every day to do that. You know, I was talking with one of our financial advisors a couple of months ago. She's had several new staff team members join her team. She's expanding her team. So she has gone from just starting out as an advisor by herself with one staff person. That's not very complex. You have one person to get to know, one person to delegate work to and communicate with, to now having a team of 4. And that has happened very rapidly for her. And she was commenting to me how much the A2A has been a difference maker for her as she adds those new staff members. It really cuts down on the amount of time that it takes to really understand who am I working with and what can I expect cognitively from this relationship. If I understand how this other person is wired differently than me, then I don't have to be surprised when they act reliably in that way. And it's different than how I would go about it. I should expect them to act that way. So it's made her slow down and really take into account, how do I need to prepare my communication style and my expectations of this person in order to enable them to act in their own way and to be free to get the work done in their own way? That has, I think, sped up their productivity and given them a lot more joy relationally in working with one another. They also have a common language now that they can use with one another to just joke and say, oh, I understand where that's coming from. I know that your quick start's on a roll today, or I know that your follow through is really being perked up by this, and I need to be able to pay attention to that. And so we use it with our advisors as they add new people to their team, just to get it out in the open and start talking about those things before they encounter them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, anytime you get a group of people together, even if it's 2 people, at some point, there's probably going to be some friction. Right? Because you have different ideals or backgrounds or all of those things. But if I at least know, hey, you've now asked me 45 questions in a row, you're not doing it to mess with me, right? It's your 8 and 5 they're ticking in. I'm able to cut you a little bit more slack, and I'm more, all right, I just need to answer her question. And kind of same thing, if I have my 75th brilliant idea of the day, you know, I'm trying to mess up your whole plan that you have built for the entire week. I just have a bunch of ideas coming out of my head.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really helped everybody in our company, I think, just develop so much respect for each other and how we are wired uniquely and how we need to give space and deference to how other people have strengths that are different than ours and accommodate to those things and expect those things. And it's given people confidence to own how they are wired and own their strengths as well and be proud of those things.
You know, we've talked a lot about in the business and, you know, all of the different ways that you're helping either financial advisors or they're helping their clients with Colby. But we all know that this has an impact on your life too, right? You're not just work Eric or work Libby and then at home Eric or at home Libby, right? They commingle together. So I want to talk about kind of on that personal side. Do you have any examples of how you've seen Colby impact somebody, even if it's yourself, in your personal life?
Absolutely. I think that's something that people talk a lot about today is leadership and how do we lead ourselves? How do we become more self-aware and understand what our strengths are and what our weaknesses and our growth edges are? And Colby has had a huge impact in my own family's life already in the short time that I feel like I've had to be exposed to it. My husband went through the assessment himself, and we actually are conative clones. So pretty surprising, both firstborns, both same Colby scores and on our A results. And that was just such an eye-opening and relieving thing to understand, to say we're not trying to copy each other. We truly do think very similarly and move about decision-making in very predictable ways. Made us laugh. We were able to see some missing methods that we have in our marriage and be able to just talk about who do we need to bring into our marriage to be able to help us make decisions where we get stuck sometimes. So one of those examples is that we are both envisioners on the implementer mode. And so that just means we don't like to fix things, not like, but we do not instinctually fix things or do anything with our hands very well. And so knowing that about both of us gave us freedom to say we are definitely outsourcing all of our fix-it things in our house and our cars, and to make no excuses about it, not put any pressure on each other to fill in for that on that, but to just own that that's how we're wired. We've also had our 12-year-old go through Dynamine's process for teenagers, and that has been hugely impactful for her. She's opposite of me, and so that I expected that, but as she did her assessment, it gave her so much confidence as a 12-year-old as she's understanding how she is wired and feeling confident about who she is to really affirm her strength. So she comes up, she's a 9 quick start, and she comes up with new business ideas about once a week and then comes to me and asks me for the money and the plan to be able to start all of the businesses that she wants to do. And so I know that she's going to be an entrepreneur one day. She's already trying to flex that muscle, and it helps me to parent her better because I already know to expect her to have a different path than I did. And I know the people and types of structures that I can put around her, working in an entrepreneurial company myself and working with entrepreneurs so much, I now know the types of teammates she needs around her to enable her to feel like she can be successful as a quick start, as an innovator. So I'm excited to see her grow in that area.
Yeah. And that, you know, that amazing work that you're doing with trying to match people inside of your firm with the work that's going to fulfill them, line up with their strengths, all of that. And that's actually one of the reasons that you and Keating were a finalist at ColbyCon. So now let's go kind of way back. Let's give us a little bit of an overview on, you know, Keating overall. What does your firm do? What do y'all focus on? That kind of
thing. Sure. We really specialize in enabling our financial advisors to have teams, business plans, and operational resources that allow them to have their freedom and opportunity to reach their goals in servicing their own clients. We're a community of approximately 30 financial advisors right now and growing, many of whom are independent contractors. They get to pick who are the types of clients that I want to work with? What are the services that I feel uniquely positioned and passionate to offer? And about 50 staff who work here with us at Keating to combine together our abilities between our advisors and our staff to provide investment management, financial planning, business consulting, life and Medicare supplement insurance, and then retirement and benefit plan administration. So we touch a lot of different sectors of the wealth management space and have continued to just listen to what our clients need and grow our capacity to offer the services that will help them meet their goals.
Perfect. That's awesome. You guys are definitely, you know, doing a lot of good work in the world, both on the kind of client side and on helping advisors run a more effective business, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, you're a certified Colby consultant. Kind of a two-part question here is, one, when did you get certified, if you remember? And then two, what was the reason you wanted to get certified?
I have been certified for a little over 2 years. I went through the certification process virtually in September of 2020 and loved getting to go through that process and then be able to be in person for the first time at ColbyCon at the annual conference this last month and be able to see how Colby does things both virtually and in person. And I really had my eye on certification for years. I've been with Keating for 7 years, and I was greatly impacted by Colby at the very beginning of my time at Keating because I have a passion for coaching others and wanting them to be their very best authentic versions of themselves and seeing how Colby enables people to have that personal insight and also just confidence in their own strengths, owning those as value, as a positive thing in their life and not apologizing for how they're wired has been a really great thing. And so I wanted to be able to partner with our consultant at the time who had been doing this for over 20 years to be able to do that. And as she moved into retirement and was ready to pass the baton, I loudly raised my hand and said, I would really love the opportunity to carry that on at Keating for a long time to come.
That's awesome. Perfect. All right. So we've covered a lot of ground in a fairly short amount of time. So thank you for that. As you think about, you know, what we've covered so far, are there any high points or ways you use Colby that we haven't discussed yet?
I think one of the things that I love using Colby for is overall team insight and development. So being able to use team success and put together reports that give insight to the entire on what their synergy is as a team cognitively to understand, are we missing any of these 12 Colby strengths in our team? And do we need to intentionally go outside of our team right now to bring that strength in? Has increased awareness for our team of understanding when they're missing something, that there's something they can do about that, that they can take action and be able to look at our Colby list. We have all of our advisors and employees listed by name with their modes of operation next to them. So you can almost go shopping through your list and say, well, I've memorized my team of four. I know exactly what theirs are, but we really are missing, you know, a simplifier on our team. And so let me go through the list of the entire company and see who has that skill and that strength. And I will reach out to them and pull them in on this conversation, this meeting, this project to be able to use that strength for us in that moment. And so that's been something that has been really helpful to our advisors as they work with larger and larger teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. When you're working as teams, you don't necessarily need to hire a brand new person. If you're missing a specific strength, you just borrow it from over here, borrow it from over there. But when you have that understanding and that respect of all of the different strengths, that's when you really create a bit of that 2+2=5 kind of effect of all of us working together to achieve more.
Absolutely. I agree. We've seen it happen.
Perfect. All right. Well, we're getting close on time and we know a lot of our audience is super busy. And so we want to be respectful of that. So, you know, Libby, I definitely want to thank you for your time today. If people want to reach out, they want to learn more about Keating, where should they go?
Absolutely. You can find us on our website at KeatingInc.com. That's going to then link you with all of our social media channels as well. We're pretty active on LinkedIn. You can find us in that space as well. And we look forward to connecting with anyone who would like to reach out and learn more about what we do supporting our financial advisors and what we do with our clients in the wealth management space as well.
Perfect. So KeatingInc.com, right?
That's right.
There we go. Perfect. So if you want to learn more about Keating, go there. If you want to learn more about Colby, you want to take your Colby A, you're interested in becoming a Colby certified consultant like Libby, as always, go to Colby.com. So until next time, everybody, I'm Eric Carrera. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Powered by Instinct. This show is brought to you by Colby Corp, a company that helps leaders and organizations thrive using the only instinctive strengths assessment on the market. If you enjoyed this episode, then follow Powered by Instinct wherever you get your favorite podcasts, or join us online at colby.com/podcast for all the latest episodes.